Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
When Jesus instructed us not to give what is holy to dogs, have you ever stopped to consider what He was talking about exactly? What holy things are at your disposal to throw or not throw to the dogs? Do you think of yourself as being in possession of sacred things, things too precious to bestow upon the wrong people? Today, Jesus is going to give you a new way to look at the things you have to offer.
So, why do you withhold holy things from the pigs and the dogs? Well, number one, because it's the most loving thing to do. It's an act of mercy. Number two, because God hates quarreling. He doesn't want us to be drawn into fights. And then a third one. It's a bad thing to throw your pearls to pigs because it's poor stewardship of your pearls. Right? I mean, let's face it. We only have so many pearls. Whether it's pearls of wisdom or whatever ministry you're offering that person, every minute you spend giving the ministry to that person is a minute you're not spending giving it to someone else who might be receptive. You know, it used to be, I used to be drawn into arguments all the time because I love to debate, and debate easily turns into arguing. And so I used to just, you know, somebody wanted to argue with me and I would engage and I would love to just go back and forth like sparring or something. But I've started to realize that over the years that I don't, and as I've become more busy, that I don't think that the Lord wants me to spend my time that way. You know, getting on some forum online and wrangling with somebody that's not listening. And I think, you know, there are other people who are open to my influence. Why bang my head against the wall with somebody who's not interested in my influence? Just as a general principle. That's the way I do it. If I offer my advice, somebody's not open to my influence, fine, I'll go to find someone who's open to my influence. There's a lot of people out there. So, those are just a few reasons why we see elsewhere in Scripture why we don't do this, why we withhold the holy things from the pigs and the dogs. But Jesus doesn't mention those three. He mentions a fourth one, and this is typical. Jesus mentions something that we probably wouldn't have ever even thought of, and yet for Jesus, it's the number one thing. It's the core of the issue. For Jesus, the core of the issue is the holiness of the Word of God. He says, do not give dogs what is holy, lest they trample them under their feet. Why? Don't give dogs what is holy. Why? Because it's holy. You don't throw holy things out to the dogs. It's a dishonor for something to be ravaged by wild dogs. In fact, it's the greatest dishonor. When God pronounced judgment on the house of Jeroboam, He says, your family will be killed and eaten by dogs. And that happens, you see that a few times in the Old Testament. That is like the most severe judgment that can come down on an evil person, to be ravaged by the unclean dogs. It's a dishonor to be thrown to the dogs. And so the biggest main reason not to give the gospel to dogs is because it dishonors the gospel. Sometimes we just need to reshift our thinking to be God-centered instead of man-centered. If someone hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejects it and goes to hell forever, that's a bad thing, right? That's a bad thing. Why? What's so bad about it? Well, one reason why it's bad is because that person is going to suffer eternal torment in hell rather than eternal joy, everlasting joy in heaven. That's one reason, but a much greater reason why it's bad is the fact that when somebody rejects the gospel, they have rejected a treasure, that which came out of the very mouth of the Savior Himself. The Holy One Himself was rejected. It is a greater tragedy for the Word of God to be dishonored than for a human soul to go to hell for eternity. Both are tragedies. The first one is worse. So don't give what's holy to dogs. Because you just don't do that with holy things. You don't use the Ark of the Covenant as a wastebasket. You don't use the pages of God's Word to make paper airplanes. You don't take the meat that was offered to the Lord as a sacrifice and throw it out to be eaten by rats or something. And you don't throw the gospel out to dogs because the gospel is holy and it's to be treated as holy. It would help us if we learned that when we confront a brother, we say, let me help remove the speck from your eye. Here's some rebuke. Here's some admonition. That we are giving something that is holy. And you see this in Jesus' life. We can follow Jesus' example. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? He spends all day ministering to them, healing them, teaching them, pouring himself out to them. Then the next day they come back and they don't even care about, they don't ask for more teaching. They ask for more free food. And so Jesus says in John 6:26, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He says, you're not interested in the gospel, you're not interested in me, you're not interested in the truth, you just want food, and so I'm going to deny your request. And he essentially just sent them away. King Herod, man, he wanted to see Jesus, he wanted to see a miracle, he had all kinds of questions for Jesus. He's barraging Jesus' questions. Jesus gave him neither miracles nor answers. He just was silent. Why? Because the gospel is only for the interested. It is dishonored when it is rejected, and so we give the gospel to the interested. This is why Jesus spoke in parables. Sometimes people say, oh, Jesus used parables, you know, they're illustrations that make the truth easier to understand. No, they're not. They make it harder to understand. That's the purpose of them, is to make them so hard to understand that the only people that have access to the actual truth behind the parable are the people who are interested enough to go to Jesus after he tells the parable and say, what does that mean? Matthew 13:10, Jesus said this. The disciples came and asked him, why do you speak in parables to the people in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has not been given to them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. It's to withhold the truth from them. When Jesus sent out the 12 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he told them, Matthew 10:14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town. Just, the gospel is for the interested. It's holy and it must be honored. And you honor it by receiving it eagerly. When Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their sin and hypocrisy in Matthew 15, Jesus' PR team was very concerned now about the impact this is going to have on Jesus' popularity among the VIPs. And so they're all worried. And in Matthew 15:12, the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Do you know that that offends them when you call them hypocrites like that in front of everybody? And Jesus answered, oh no, how am I ever going to get my approval numbers back up with them? How am I going to restore my... No, that's not what he said. You know what he said? Verse 14. Leave them. They are blind guides. Chilling words. Leave them. They have missed their chance. They are determined and insistent in their uncleanness. They have shown themselves to be the dogs and the pigs. Leave them. In Acts chapter 13, early church, the people listened. Paul and Barnabas are preaching to the people, and they're sort of listening, but then the hostile Jewish leaders came and won the people over, and the people listened to those Jewish leaders instead of Paul, and Paul said, since you reject the word of God and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Goodbye. Same thing happened 5 chapters later in Macedonia. Chapter 18, verse 6, then the Jews were opposed Paul and became abusive. He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. In Acts chapter 19, verse 8, so Paul entered the synagogue and spoke out fearlessly for 3 months, addressing and convincing them about the kingdom of God. But when some were stubborn and refused to believe, reviling the way before the congregation, he left them and took the disciples with him. The gospel is for the receptive. The word of God is granted only to those who have the hunger to receive it. It's always been the case, even in the Old Testament. Proverbs 2, verse 3. Listen to what you have to do if you want the truth. If you call aloud, call out for insight, and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God offers a huge buffet of free food, but only to the hungry. He's a spring of living water, but only the thirsty can drink. It's only for people like the Bereans who are just eager to receive the truth. This is why we're against the trend in the church growth movement of turning a worship service into a three-ring circus or a movie theater or a stand-up comedy stage or a rock concert or whatever it is that's the latest fad to strategy for bringing uninterested people into the church. The gospel is not for the uninterested. They will blaspheme God when they receive the gospel. It is for those who are being drawn by the Father. And you can tell who's being drawn by the Father by the receptiveness of their hearts. That's why the way we try to grow this church is by preaching the gospel. Just preach the gospel and it attracts the right people. The people who are being drawn. Remember the beginning of 1 Thessalonians where he says, we know that God has chosen you because you received the word with great eagerness.
Jesus instructs us not to give what's holy to dogs. But honestly, most of us don't even think in terms of giving what's holy to anyone. We don't really think what we have to offer people is all that special. When you approach someone to point out a sin or give them some encouragement or instruction from God's Word or correction, do you think of that as a holy thing you're presenting to them? It is. It's holy. It's set apart from the common things of this world. It's hallowed. It's sacrosanct. It's of supreme value and importance. Take a little time to preach to your soul about how priceless and holy the things are that you have to offer. Then talk to God about how He would have you engage in ministry to offer those holy things.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.